John Brown's body lies a mouldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Welcome to War of the Rebellion, stories of the Civil War. I am your host, Leon, and this is a reading of the regimental history under the Maltese Cross, Antietam to Appomattox, the Loyal Uprising in Western Pennsylvania, 1861 to 1865, campaigns 155th Pennsylvania Regiment, narrated by the rank and file. And we're picking up right where we left off, Officers and Men of Company E, by Private Noah H. Pangburn. It was at first supposed by many of the confiding and patriotic youths of this company, who volunteered in August 1862, that of course they would be treated, as had the gallant Army of the Potomac, by spending the first year of their service at camps of instruction, where their principal duties would be engaging in company drills, presidential reviews, camp duties, and that they would also be taught how to load and to fire off guns, and instructed in the general routine of a soldier's duties. These dreams were rudely and promptly dispelled in the case of the boys who were mustered into the company, which was destined to soon earn distinction as Company E, 155th Regiment Pennsylvania Volunteers. On the 3rd of September 1862, the 98 youths, then comprising this company, were required in great haste to pack up and leave Camp Howe, Pittsburgh, and to march to the front, which was then located at the gates of Washington. The officers in command and the enlisted men were wholly unexperienced and unfamiliar with the duties of a soldier. So great was the demand for troops and the haste in getting the new organization to the front that, with the other companies of the newly formed 155th Regiment, they were placed aboard freight cars for Washington before receiving guns or other weapons or any ammunition with which to save the imperiled capital. No camps of instruction, no drilling, no presidential or other reviews were accorded the newly recruited regiment in its brief stay of a few hours at Washington. It is questionable whether at that date any of the company knew the meaning of a countersign, or understood the significance of the terms long roll, picketing, or other military phrases. The full roll of Company E during its 3 years service comprised 150 names. In the brief space allotted the sketch, it would be impossible to mention all the names and to describe all deeds of the deserving officers and men who so faithfully and gallantly served in the company. Our beloved companions, who died on the battlefield, constitute a roll of honor, redounding to the everlasting glory of the company, and calls for special mention. All those comrades who received wounds, and also those who died or suffered in hospitals or southern prisons, martyrs to their country, cannot be accorded too great glory. The revised roster in Appendix, however, officially furnishes the record. Brevity, however, will be necessary, even in according due need of praise to all deserving patriots who were on the company roll. Frank Van Gorder was commissioned first captain, but a few days after, on organization of the regiment, was made regimental quartermaster, serving but a few months when he resigned to re-embark in business in Pittsburgh. He was succeeded in the captaincy by Joseph B. Sackett, who served faithfully in that position at Antietam, Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, and at Gettysburg as the commander of the company. Captain Sackett lost his life January 24, 1864, by drowning in attempting to cross on horseback Kettle Run, Virginia, on the line of the Orange and Alexandria Railroad. First Lieutenant George M. Loughlin next succeeded to the captaincy of the company. He had the distinction at that date of being the youngest officer in the regiment, at the time of his enlistment as a private being but 19 years of age. He sacrificed a business career of great promise to enlist in this company and to share for 3 years in the perils and hardships of active campaigning. He commanded the company from January 24, 1864, and returned its commander at the close of the war, having been breveted major for gallant and meritorious services in the field. Robert A. Thompson, who had served very efficiently as orderly sergeant of the company for 18 months, a bright young Irishman, was promoted to first lieutenant. James Van Kirk was commissioned as second lieutenant, having been promoted from commissary sergeant. Both these officers held the ranks mentioned and discharged their duties bravely until the date of the final muster out of the regiment in Pittsburgh. The majority of the recruits were country youths. In fact, many of them were mere schoolboys. They were recruited in districts of Allegheny, Westmoreland, Armstrong, and Fayette counties. From Brownsville, Fayette County, and the river towns and landings along the Monongahela to Pittsburgh, 17 stalwart boys were recruited by editor R.B. Brown of Brownsville, the publisher of the only Democratic newspaper of that county. 6 weeks' active campaign caused the health of Lieutenant Brown to break down and compelled his resignation. Professor George P. Fulton gave up the principalship of the Brownsville Academy to enlist and reported as a recruit at Camp Howe, Pittsburgh. Although as commissary sergeant, he was exempted from participating in battles, Sergeant Fulton never failed to be up to the firing line, where his zeal in distributing rations to the hungry men under fire made him deservedly popular. Several of his former pupils enlisted with him and reported at Camp Howe. These recruits on leaving home were armed like troubadours, with banjos and violins. Sergeant Fulton became Army correspondent of the regiment for the Pittsburgh Chronicle, and his weekly letters home were read with great interest. John M. Lancaster, who rose to the rank of orderly sergeant, represented another of what was called the Brownsville Squad. He still survives, a constant sufferer, however, from wounds he received in action. 18 stalwart boys, all from well-known families in Elizabeth Township, Allegheny County, next joined the company under J. Torrance Power, who became the first orderly sergeant. Sergeant Power had been principal of the Elizabeth District School and had a number of his pupils among his recruits. He had been admitted to the Pittsburgh Bar a few days before his enlistment. On the resignation of Lieutenant Brown, Sergeant Power was promoted to lieutenant. He participated with honor in the great battles of Antietam, Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, and at Gettysburg. After the latter battle, Lieutenant Power was ordered for special duty in the War Department at Washington and later became Chief Clerk of the United States Treasury under Honorable John Sherman. Private D.K. Stevenson exchanged the pulpit of the Methodist Church in Blairsville for the musket, and often in camp served as supply in the absence of the chaplain. 10 stalwart youths joined the company from towns along the banks, Kiskiminimidis, and Allegheny Rivers. Having no leader, they asked for no offices in the company. They were jovial, clean, pure, patriotic boys. Profanity, vulgarity, intemperance, and other vices being shunned by them, they soon became known as the Kiskiminimidis Squad. Out of the 10, sad to state, in less than 1 year after enlistment, but one of their number, Private John K. Alter, survived. Company E had for its drill master Orderly Sergeant Robert Thompson, who was a natural-born soldier. His incessant drilling the first year of service was carried to excess, especially in compulsory drilling on Sabbath mornings. The tactics taught the company the first year of service were known as the Hardee Infantry Tactics. After the men had thoroughly mastered the intricacies of the Hardee drill, the War Department issued an order abolishing the Hardee Code entirely. Company E, with the other companies, was thereupon compelled to unlearn all of the Hardee and to master instead the new Zouave drill, bayonet exercise, and skirmishing. A thoroughly independent and original squad in the company consisted of 6 North of Ireland recruits, all citizens of Pittsburgh. 2 more were from other parts of Ireland. They made 8 lively, cheerful, witty, aggressive comrades and brave soldiers. They were named Robert A. Thompson, Hugh Park, Hugh McGimpsey, William John White, William Matthews, the oldest man in the company, William Marshall, Barney Farrell, and William Welton. They were all of more mature years than the American youths, and they had seen much more of the world. Around the campfires and in winter quarters, it was interesting and amusing to hear these Irish members narrate the wonders of Old Ireland. Its great men, its fighters and warriors, its mountains and its lakes, its farms and wonderful crops, and above all, its fairies and ghosts. all being described for the benefit of the listening audience of country lads who had never traveled. When the storytellers piled it on too strong for their hearers, and boasted of the superior prize-fighting qualities of the sons of Ireland over all other nationalities, a sensitive chord was touched, and the greatest indignation was aroused amongst the country lads. The startling assertions would be promptly resented, and young John Crookham and other couriers would be dispatched to hunt up well-known comrades to defend the honor of the Americans thus impugned. There was Sergeant Jim Van Kirk, who, as a 49er, had tramped his way across the plains in the Isthmus of Panama and back again, who had often described the wondrous sights to the company. He was frequently chosen to offset the wonderful stories of the Irish contingent, and seldom failed to acquit himself creditably. If Van Kirk could not be found for this service, Private Jack McHenry, a character of the company, was called to take his place. In early days in Pittsburgh in the 50s, Jack had been a volunteer fireman. The extinguishment of fire in those days was always postponed by the firemen for a free-for-all fight between rival volunteer companies. Jack had often described to his comrades his participation in these affairs. McHenry, who had another never-failing experience to draw upon, through having served as a coal boatman on various trips on the raging Ohio and Mississippi, with these debates ended, Sergeant Huey McGimpsey, who had long served as a soup at the old Drury Theater, Pittsburgh, would enliven the exercises with a song. It usually consisted of a dozen or more verses of the old Irish ballad of Cooper and Donnelly, describing in verse a prize fight of the century previous in Ireland, in which Donnelly, a brave Irishman, easily defeats Cooper, a proud Briton. Colin Latta was the solitary Scotchman who strayed into the company. He proved a brave and faithful soldier at Antietam, Fredericksburg, and also at Chancellorsville. He was sunstruck in the ranks on the forced march to Gettysburg and never recovered. Colin's broad Ayrshire accent and quaint recitations from Bobby Burns and his singing Highland Mary delighted the country youths who often formed his audience. The first death in the company was that of Private Abraham F. Overholt of Fayette County. A youth of 18, on the 16th of October, 1862, he died in the hospital of Humphrey's Division in the Lutheran Church at Sharpsburg, around which edifice parts of the Great Battle of Antietam had raged but a short time previous. Under Sergeant Thompson, a detail from 10 companions marched from Camp McAuley to bury youth Overholt in the churchyard, already well filled with new-made graves of soldiers. There, the usual military salute was fired by the guard over his grave. A headboard was placed over his last resting place in which his name and company was cut by his messmate, Private Thomas Van Ostel. Remarkable coincidence in casualties. A remarkable coincidence occurs in the cases of the deaths in battle of comrades of Company E. All who were killed fell side by side, and all met their fate in pairs. Thus, Color Corporal George W. Bratton and Private Wilbur W. Kuhn, both of the Kiskaminas squad, fell side by side in the famous charge on Mary's Heights, December 13, 1862. They had been messmates in camp, and playmates in boyhood, and were united in death. Sergeant Isaac Wyckoff and Private William Welton were killed by sharpshooters on Little Round Top. Gettysburg, July 2, 1863, while in battle line and very close together. Lieutenant Powers and the writer, in the final lull of the battle, buried Wyckoff in the rear of Little Round Top. Welton's body was carried off the field by the stretcher-bearers of the Corps. Unfortunately, his messmate, James P. O'Neill, removed his prayer book and letters from his person to be returned to his mother, and was not allowed to leave the battle ranks to accompany the stretcher-bearers and to mark his grave. William Welton was a native of the county Cork, Ireland, who in childhood settled with his widowed mother in Pittsburgh. His aged mother so grieved over the death of her only son that she refused all entreaties of friends to apply for a pension. At a recent reunion of the company, at Kennywood Park, it was resolved to honor young Welton's memory by erecting a headstone in the soldier's plot in Calvary Cemetery, Pittsburgh. He now lies buried among the unknown in the National Cemetery Gettysburg. Privates William A. Lycan and David Lear, two more messmates and members of the Kiskaminas squad, fell in the famous charge on June 18, 1864 in front of Petersburg. Under cover of the night, when the bodies were recovered, these two comrades were found by companions side by side in death, as they had been in life. Privates Newell D. Luchenheiser and Daniel K. Horner were killed at Spotsylvania May 8, 1864, and thus kept up the record in each battle for dual deaths. They were the first of the Youghiogheny squad to die in battle. The death of Private Theophilus S. Callan by a sharpshooter's bullet while serving on the exposed vedette post at Bethesda Church on the night of June 2, 1864, and the remarkable recovery of the body outside the lines under severe fire by the enemy by Sergeant Lancaster, Privates McKenna, Hipsey, and Douglas, having volunteered for that hazardous duty, is proper to mention in this company sketch. Private William S. Hindman, who was killed at the Battle of North Anna, June 23, 1864, was in his 18th year. He was a farmer's son who had enlisted with his school teacher, Lieutenant Powers. He was quiet, patient, and brave. His pure Christian life impressed all who knew him. That one so gentle and so mild developed into so brave a soldier was not a surprise to those most intimate with him, who knew that he guided all his actions by faith in God, and that duty was ever watchword. Private Jackson Merriman, aged 19, was the athlete of the company. Tall, straight, stalwart, and sinewy. He had the dark, straight hair and high cheekbones and the complexion and features strongly suggestive of Indian blood. He was killed in the Battle of the Wilderness, May 5, 1864. He enlisted from Sewickley Township, Allegheny County, of which he was a native. Color Corporal Thomas J. Tomer, in the repulse of the Confederate assault on Little Round Top, Gettysburg, fell seriously wounded by the side of Color Corporal John Mackin of Company F while rallying around the colors. Private Tomer had been a life sufferer from the wounds received on that occasion. He has resided since the war in Canton, Ohio. The first man of Company E wounded in the baptism of fire at Fredericksburg was Private Oliver P. Gamble, a farmer's boy, a member of the Elizabeth Squad, who for many years has resided in Kansas. A popular comrade of Company E, brave unto rashness in battle, was Private James P. O'Neill of Pittsburgh. He enlisted at the age of 17, leaving St. Michael's Seminary, Pittsburgh, where he stood at the head of the class of students for the priesthood. He participated in all the battles of his regiment from Antietam to Spotsylvania, in which he received serious wounds incapacitating him from further service in the field. He was cheerful, witty, and the life of the company. In civil life, he became a journalist and attained distinction as an able and popular writer on various Pittsburgh newspapers. He died in National Military Home at Dayton, Ohio, in 1902, and was buried with regimental honors in St. Mary's Cemetery, Pittsburgh. Private Isaac N. Hipsley, of Allegheny City, in the charge of June 18, 1864, received a painful wound. This wound entitled him to a furlough home, but he declined and remained with the company on active duty until the last shot was fired at Appomattox. Private William Evans of the Elizabeth Squad received a double wound on the skirmish line at Bethesda Church June 2, 1864, the bullet first striking his wrist and then glancing from the gun he was using to his cheek, where his second wound was inflicted, leaving him disabled and scarred for life. Corporal Michael B. Lemon and Private Jacob S. Friend were together on the skirmish line under Captain Laughlin at the opening of the Battle of the Wilderness May 5, 1864. Both were severely wounded. Friend was taken prisoner by the Confederates and removed to Andersonville, where he remained in the hospital 11 months. Although but a mere boy at the time of his capture and wounding, Jacob S. Friend endured his prison life much better than those of more robust build. Corporal Lemon was left for dead from his wounds in the enemy's lines, being paralyzed. The enemy captured his knapsack and brand new album containing his collection of family photographs and those of his messmate, Private McKenna, entrusted to him in camp the night before the battle. On the recovery of the lost ground by the 155th Regiment, the stretcher-bearers rescued Corporal Lemon and carried him back to the Corps Field Hospital. In civil life, Corporal Lemon was honored by being elected and re-elected member of the Pennsylvania Legislature from the Pittsburgh District, being at the date of his death a member of that body. Sergeant Hugh McGimsey, on the opening of the Wilderness Battle, on duty with the skirmish line, was clubbed by a Confederate in a hand-to-hand contest, and was also left for dead on the field within the Confederate line until the enemy fell back, when he was rescued. Sergeant McGimsey served with the company until the last campaign, but died in the United States Hospital in Philadelphia soon after the end of the war, from the effects of the wounds received at Wilderness. The wounding of Private Hugh Bain occurred in plain sight of the whole company on June 22, 1864, while serving in front of Petersburg, where the regiment was closely hugging the ground to avoid the deadly range of the enemy's fire. Private Bain was wounded. He was carrying a shovel instead of a musket, being on the Pioneer Corps. He arose and announced to the company that he saw the enemy. Undoubtedly, the enemy caught sight of him at the same time, and he was promptly struck in the cheek by a Confederate miniball. Private Bain's military career ended at this date. Private James B. Richards suffered for years after the war from severe wounds received in the Battle of June 18, 1864, before Petersburg. Genial, faithful, and brave, Sergeant Hugh Park, in the last battle of the war at Five Forks, April 1, 1865, received a serious wound. Sergeant Park never recovered from the effects of this wound, surviving the end of the war but a few years. Private Thomas Y. Vanostol was a giant in stature and belonged to the Youghiogheny Squad. He received a mortal wound in the afternoon of June 18, 1864, in front of Petersburg, whilst the regiment was maneuvering for advanced positions. The Confederate batteries had shifted their position so as to get perfect range of the Union line. Private Vanostol was struck on the leg by a solid shot as, with all the regiment, he was under orders, hugging the ground closely. Survivors will recall the shelling received by the regiment whilst in that position, and the noise of the rebound of the solid shot which mortally wounded young Vanostol. Privates Joshua Bryant and Samuel Bryan were two more members of the Youghiogheny Squad who gave up their lives in battle. The first named at the Battle of Hatcher's Run, the latter after escaping injury and all other great battles, fell at Five Forks. Joshua Bryant's death was mourned by a wife and six children residing in Fayette County, and by all his comrades who appreciated his bravery and high sense of duty. Private John Hunter, who was captured at the Wilderness May 5, 1864, on the skirmish line, was sent to Andersonville Prison. His case was one of the saddest and most pathetic experiences in a soldier's career. Young Hunter was last seen by his comrades on the skirmish line. Jacob S. Friend, Michael Lemon, and Hugh McGimsey, surrounded by Confederates with whom he was engaged in a hand-to-hand struggle. He was exchanged, after suffering the horrors of 11 months imprisonment, reaching Camp Parole, Annapolis, with thousands of other Union prisoners. He was so weak and afflicted that on arriving at Annapolis, he could not be removed, and died aboard the exchange transport as it lay anchored in the harbor. His death occurred on the memorable 9th of April, 1865, at the very hour when his companions of the 155th Regiment were on the skirmish line at Appomattox, receiving the first flag of truce which preceded the surrender of the Confederate Army. Truly a sad coincidence, of which the only consolation is that, as John Hunter's eyes were closing in death, so was ending the Southern Confederacy which he had died to suppress. He also belonged to the Youghiogheny Squad, his father being a farmer in that valley. Company changes. Captain George M. Laughlin, early in July 1864, whilst commanding the company in front of Petersburg, was appointed on the staff of Major General Charles Griffin, commanding the 1st Division of 5th Corps. In Army orders, he was later promoted to Brevet Major for gallant and meritorious services at Five Forks and Appomattox. Amongst the quota, which Company E received by transfer from the 62nd Regiment, was 1st Sergeant Zerah C. Monks. He was a brave soldier, who at the Battle of Five Forks, April 1, 1865, in a hand-to-hand encounter, was severely wounded, but left his Confederate foe dead on the field. Privates Samuel Sloan and Edward R. Melchi, who were also transferred from the 62nd Regiment, were among the first to fall in the ranks of the 155th at Five Forks. Private E.S. Marshall performed the melancholy duty of burying the remains of his brother-in-law, Private Melchi, on the field. With the departure of Captain Loughlin from the company for staff duty, a special order from General G.K. Warren, commanding the 5th Corps, was issued detailing Private Charles F. McKenna. Private Chas F. McKenna, to succeed Corporal William G. Rule of the 62nd Regiment Pennsylvania Volunteers to be an assistant at Corps Headquarters to Colonel Fred T. Locke, the Assistant Adjutant General of the 5th Army Corps. Private McKenna continued to hold this important position during the remainder of the campaign, being present on duty with Adjutant General Locke and General Warren in the action at Five Forks, April 1, 1865. He continued on the same duty with General Griffin and Colonel Locke, his Assistant Adjutant General at Appomattox and at the formal paroling of the Confederate Army. During the protracted siege of Petersburg, there was but little choice of position by the soldier in either army. Exposed in the trenches, the men of both armies used pick and shovel and gun alternatively, the only intervals of rest afforded being when the bombardment of either army set in and the shelter of the bombproof was sought, and a rest from labor enjoyed, until the cessation of severe firing. General Warren's first headquarters in the front of Petersburg was the Avery Mansion, which was exposed to the range of Confederate shells. The frequent bombardment at night of this mansion, after the general and his staff and attachés all had retired to beds on the floor, made it difficult to determine which was more agreeable and interesting, resting in the trenches or napping at Corps headquarters. Private McKenna's old diary, read by the writer, describes his experience in both positions as a case of escaping from the frying pan into the fire. Private Robert P. Douglas, whilst on temporary detail as guard to hospital, was captured and taken prisoner at Chancellorsville. After a month's detention in the lines of the Confederate Army, he was paroled, and soon after was exchanged and served in the ranks until the end of the war. Privates Harmon Pence, Bernard Farrell, William John White, and Samuel K. Acher served for considerable periods on detached duty at division and corps headquarters as provost guards and orderlies. All made excellent records wherever stationed until they were mustered out at the close of the war. Privates Thomas E. Morgan and John K. Alter were two of the youngest soldiers of the company and served faithfully until the end of the war. To tell of all the heroes and brave patriots of the company who received wounds in battle, or of those who died of disease contracted in the service, or again of those who passed away in the hospitals and prisons, or of the small band who survived to return to home and friends at the close of the war, would afford material in itself for a volume instead of a chapter. Those names herein presented are merely selected to illustrate types of patriots in the ranks of Company E. Note: Private Noah H. Pangburn, the author of the foregoing contribution, who was most active in securing the publication of the regimental history, died at his residence in October 1908 at Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, before the completion of the regimental history. His innate modesty prevented him from mentioning in the article the record of his own patriotic services, having participated with honor in every battle of the regiment from Antietam to Appomattox. He had the distinction of serving on the regimental detail and accepting the arms and in paroling ceremonies at formal surrender of the Confederate Army after Generals Grant and Lee had signed the terms of surrender. Record enrollment, casualties of Company E. Killed and died of wounds. Sergeant Isaac Wyckoff, killed at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, July 2, 1863. Color Corporal George W. Bratton, killed at Fredericksburg, Virginia, December 13, 1862. Corporal Samuel W. Bryan, killed at Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Corporal Newell D. Lutenheiser, killed at Wilderness, May 5, 1864. Private Joshua W. Bryant, killed at Hatcher's Run, Virginia, October 27, 1864. Private Theophilus S. Callan, killed at Bethesda Church, June 2, 1864. Private William S. Hindman, killed at North Anna River, Virginia, May 23, 1864. Private Daniel K. Horner, killed at Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 12, 1864. Private Wilbur Force W. Kuhn, killed at Fredericksburg, Virginia, December 13, 1862. Private David Lear, killed at Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private William A. Lycan, killed at Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private Jackson Merriman, killed at Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private Edward R. Melchi, killed at Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private Samuel E. Sloan, killed at Five Forks, Virginia, May 1, 1865. Private Thomas Y. Vanastol, killed at Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private William Welton, killed at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, July 2, 1863. Private Isaac Warner, killed at Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Died of disease. Captain Joseph B. Sackett, died near Warrington Junction, Virginia, January 24, 1864. Corporal Lewis Schreiner, died at Washington, D.C., January 5, 1863. Private William A. Clements, died near Falmouth, Virginia, December 22, 1862. Private Abelsom Crewson, died at Windmill Point, Virginia, February 8, 1863. Private John Hunter, died at Annapolis, Maryland, May 9, 1865, from effects of imprisonment in Andersonville Confederate Prison. Private John W. Horner, died June 16, 1864. Private William J. Hixenbaugh, died at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, September 2, 1864. Private Thomas Meritz, died at Washington, D.C., October 13, 1864. Private Duncan McCutcheon, died at Washington, D.C., August 28, 1864. Private John A. McHenry, died in New York, September 19, 1864. Private Abraham F. Overholt, died at Sharpsburg, Maryland, October 10, 1862. Private James S. Rowan, died at Falmouth, Virginia, April 17, 1863. Private Alexander Ritchie, died at Falmouth, Virginia, April 17, 1863. Private Hugh McGimpsey, died at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, April 15, 1865. Wounded in action. Lieutenant Robert A. Thompson, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. First Sergeant Zara C. Monks, Five Forks, Virginia, April 1, 1865. Sergeant Hugh Park, Five Forks, Virginia, April 1, 1865. Corporal B. Lemon, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Color Corporal Thomas J. Tomer, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, July 2, 1863. Sergeant Hugh W. McGimpsey, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Sergeant John M. Lancaster, October 29, 1864. Private Hugh Bain, Jerusalem Plank Road, Virginia, May 22, 1864. Private Michael O. Black, Hatcher's Run, Virginia, March 25, 1865. Private William Evans, Cold Harbor, Virginia, June 2, 1864. Private Oliver P. Gamble, Fredericksburg, Virginia, December 13, 1862. Private Isaac N. Hipsley, Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private James P. O'Neill, Laurel Hill, Virginia, May 8, 1864. Private James B. Richards, Petersburg, Virginia, June 18, 1864. Private Edmund R. Thierkeld, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private Thomas N. Thomas, North Anna River, Virginia, May 24, 1864. Private Jacob S. Friend, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private William A. Lowe, Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 12, 1864. Wounded while serving with 62nd Pennsylvania Volunteers. Private John L. Anderson, Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 14, 1864. Private Daniel Chambers, Spotsylvania, Virginia, May 14, 1864. Private John M. Hilliard, Wilderness, Virginia, May 5, 1864. Private Frederick Smith, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, July 2, 1863. Recapitulation. Total enrollment, 149. Killed and died of wounds, 17. Died of disease, 11. Discharged on account of wounds and disabilities, 44. Transferred to Veteran Reserve Corps, 7. Transferred to other organizations, 18. Deserted, 0. Not on muster out rolls and never joined company, 5. Discharged by special and general orders, 3. Dishonorably discharged, 1. Discharged at expiration of term, 1. Officers resigned, 2. Mustered out with regiment, 38. Wounded in action, 21. All right. And that's it. We're finished. We'll be doing Company F next week. Probably early next week. And with that, go to rebellionstories.com, my website. And you can see all of the pictures from this company sketch, as well as the songs, Donnelly and Cooper and Highland Mary, which will also be posted there. All right, friends, take care of yourselves. Have a great one. I'm trying to crank these out as fast as possible because I don't want to wait 10 weeks to cover all 10 companies. We'll get back to normal again later. But other than that, have a great one, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Old John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave, while weep the sons of bondage whom he ventured all to save. But though he sleeps, his life was lost while struggling for the slave. His soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on. John Brown was a hero, undaunted, true, and brave. And Kansas knew his valor when he fought her rights to save. And now, though the grass grows green above his grave, his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his soul is marching on. He captured Harper's Ferry with his 19 men so few, and frightened old Virginny till she trembled through and through. They hung him for a traitor, themselves a traitorous crew, but his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For his soul marching on. John Brown was John the Baptist of the Christ we are to see. Christ who of the bondman shall the liberator be. And soon throughout the sunny south the slaves shall all be free, for his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For his soul is marching on. That he heralded, he looked from heaven to view on the army of the Union with its flag red, white, and blue. And heaven shall sing with anthems o'er the deed they mean to do, for his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Then strike while strike ye may, the death blow of oppression in a better time and way. The dawn of old John Brown has brightened in the day, and his soul is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. soul.